Welcome to Let Love, a podcast with the Sisters of Life. We invite you to join us for conversation, looking at life through the lens of love. You are loved, you are made in God's image, and your life matters. Let's talk about it.
Hello, and welcome back to Let Love podcast with the Sisters of Life. I'm Sister Marie Veritas.
This is Sister Anya Stay.
And it is just a treat to be with you.
Good to be back.
Yeah, so today, it's good to be here, good to talk. You know, I was thinking, Sister Anya Stay, about birds lately.
Birds?
Yeah.
You know, it's actually, we've got more birds than you might think here in the Bronx.
I know.
That's reasonable.
I know. It was definitely one shock when I moved here from Canada.
Really?
To the Bronx to discover the bird specimens.
Yes. Which one was intrigued you the most?
Well, the one that was most intriguing was the green parrot, the wild green parrots fly around the neighborhood, which I didn't expect in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and did the locals tell you the story about how they got here?
I've heard some things. You might know the better version.
Well, listen, it's legend at this point. I think the story goes, and I mean, it's crazy because at the baseball field, there's like literally, I don't know, 50, at least 50. I mean, it's like a zoo. it's like 50 to 100 green parrots, and they really do look like they're out of Brazil, and they actually are. So the story goes that they were trying to transport some green parrots, I think from Brazil, to the Bronx Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And when they arrived in LaGuardia Airport, they got out and flew a short distance from LaGuardia to here in Throgs Neck, the Bronx, and made a very nice home for themselves and have done fabulously. Somehow they've adapted to the terrible climate, certainly a contrast to Brazil, and they're doing great, flourishing, and have really spiced things up here in the Bronx. So you got the green parrots and the Bronx chubby squirrels.
Yeah, fat Bronx squirrels, which we'll have to talk about.
They're an episode of their own.
Yes, they are.
Oh my goodness.
But it is striking to hear, like to go outside and you hear, like, okay, there's the robin, you know, there's the cardinal, there's the parrot. Where am I? It's amazing. Just all the different calls you hear.
All the calls. Well, I wonder, Sister, do you know any bird calls?
You know, I wish I did. I don't.
You don't?
I only know like other creature calls.
Other creatures.
Like, no, I birds. Won't do those right now. But okay. Like an elephant, I won't do that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but do you know any bird calls?
Well, perhaps it might honor you being from Canada.
Yeah.
And your money, I've heard, is called the loonies.
Sorry. The dollar coin, yeah.
The dollar coin is called a loonie.
The loonie, yeah.
Well, I grew up in Maine, and I imagine you also knew the loon.
Yes, I've seen a loon.
It's a stunning bird. It's huge. They have the spotted markings on their breast, none like another. And the call is stunning, which I may be able to pull off for you, Sister.
That's great. I would be honored.
Just to honor Canada. And
excellent.
But okay, so imagine you're on a lake.
Yep.
Still lake.
Yep.
A nice low hill, trees.
Yes.
Evergreen. Just imagine the quiet of the lake.
Slightly misty.
Slightly misty.
Of course.
And you hear this echoing off the surface of the lake. Let's see if we can do it. Just give me one second. I think it's my off season. I haven't practiced for a while. What do you think?
I think it's great. It actually brings me back to camping with my family.
To the lake?
Yeah. I love the moon. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I got it last time.
It's kind of haunting, beautiful.
Really beautiful.
Yeah.
I used to love waking up.
Yes.
Lakeside.
Yes. It's the best. Call. It's
mm-hmm.
the best.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't know, random way to tie into our podcast today, and what we'll be talking about is letting love call your name.
I love that.
It sounds better than bird calls to me. This reality that, God calls each of us mm-hmm. in love, to love, and speaks this personally
mm-hmm.
From all eternity.
Mm-hmm. Calls our name from all eternity.
Outrageous.
Stunning.
I can't wait to break it in. Break yeah. in. Okay.
Should we start with a prayer?
Let's start with a prayer.
Do you want to lead, sister?
Let us pray. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, we call upon your name, the name above every other name. And we ask that you draw us into the depths of who we are in God, who we are in your Father, the place that we hold in the heart of his heart, in the heart of his love. We ask, Jesus, that you anoint us in our identity in God the Father, and that we have hearts open to receive every gift of grace towards becoming who we were made to be in love himself. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Spirit.
Amen.
I love thinking about this. Let love call your name.
Ugh.
Wow.
It actually just changes my whole reality.
Yeah.
Just sitting here.
Yeah.
Let love call my name. Nothing else.
Yeah.
Not obligations, expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Let love.
Call your name.
Call my name.
And I love the two aspects of that. To be called, but also to be called by name.
Mm.
To call our name, you know?
Mm.
And even like, you kind of mentioned a little bit, but like he calls us into being.
Hmm.
By name. You know, there was a moment that we weren't, and all of a sudden, in an instant, we were.
Wow.
And it wasn't a fluke. We talked about this a little bit before, but it wasn't a fluke or accident. It was an intentional calling by name into wow. existence.
Wow.
Just to stop and think about that for a second.
So he calls you into being?
Yes.
And he calls you to become.
Ah.
Sister, I love it. Just need a little time and grace,
mm-hmm.
each of us,
mm-hmm.
To allow our beings to become,
mm-hmm.
To become the fullness of who we were made to be, in and through. It sounds like we're on course here. We're getting on the on-ramp that this comes in and through by answering this call
mm-hmm.
that love extends to us personally,
mm-hmm.
In and through our name.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Gosh, where do we see this?
Well, you know, a lot. You see it a lot in Scripture. Of course. I mean, I feel like it's a giveaway, but it's mm-hmm. like, you really do. Like,
hmm.
I mean, you think of the Old Testament, like Moses, very specifically chosen and called by God, you know, by name. He wanted Moses,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even when Moses tried to pass off the buck to Aaron, like, oh, Aaron should do it. He's better at talking. God was like, I want you, Moses,
wow.
you know? So it's very intentional from the Lord, or you know, the famous passage also in the Old Testament of Samuel, where
mm.
little Samuel is sleeping and hears Samuel, Samuel, and he keeps going to Eli, and Eli's like, I didn't call you, go back to bed, kid, you know. So this is a dynamic translation of Scripture, please look up the actual. But finally, you know, he realizes it's the Lord,
wow.
and you know, here I am, Lord, you know. But it's this very throughout Scripture, you know, calling by name.
Wow, so that's Old Testament. It's mm-hmm. powerful. Mm-hmm. Well, and it moves me into the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at my favorite scripture passage, the Annunciation.
Yeah.
I love it. From the get-go, from the first lines of that mystery that's captured in Luke, the Gabriel said unto Mary, went to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Mary's name is used throughout that passage. So personal. He didn't go to Sally or Betty down the street.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Mary. And it was a personal annunciation to her.
Mm-hmm.
What God intended for her heart, her mind, her soul, her life to engage and embrace and express.
Mm-hmm.
It's so powerful to me.
Mm-hmm.
So personal.
So personal.
And I think in Mary we find ourselves.
Yeah.
I love thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
He calls me. There's an annunciation that God wants to reveal and unfold in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to call me to a particular mission. He wants to call me into my particular identity in him. And all this comes through Yes, me perceiving and listening to his call to me, to my name, and answering that in return.
I love that, sister.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy to think, I mean, just with that, the personalness of it, which is probably not a word, but like often I think we think like God loves us, like this generalized love.
Sure.
You know, of course God loves, you know, but it's like this, if you actually like pray with the Annunciation scripture, it's like, no, he loves me intimately, personally, and it's not a generalized love. I can't be replaced in this love, you know, and even, you know, his calling of Mary, which was calling by name specifically, you know, and it's a Mary, like he uttered that Mary in a unique way that he doesn't utter, you know, another's name, you know, and even, I was thinking even the Garden of the Resurrection, you know, Mary Magdalene is there weeping outside the empty tomb and Jesus comes to her. She doesn't recognize him until when?
Wow.
Until he speaks her name.
Boom.
Mary. And it's not just the word, it's everything behind it, how he says it, the gaze, how he knows it. It's this personal encounter. A name is an encounter in a way, you know?
Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
Well, it on a more mundane level, it reminds me of, even in life as a child, the way mom and dad or your sister or your brother would say your name.
Yeah.
You knew you were in trouble. You were, mom or dad was in a great mood and you were going out to pizza, or you'd done bad and they just figured that out.
Yeah.
But in God's call, we hear invitation.
Mm-hmm.
We hear something personal.
Mm-hmm.
We experience, it's deeper than even something we can perceive in our external senses.
Mm-hmm.
It's an event. It's an encounter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beginning of an interior dialogue and conversation between my heart and soul and God's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing. There's a depth to the name, to your name.
To the name, a power name. Of the name.
The power of the name.
Well, we can tap into the Old Testament with that as well.
Yes.
In a sense, right? Abram, when he was called into mission, and God kind of said, hey, brought him in. He went from Abram. He's like, now you'll be called Abraham. Mm-hmm. Which, what does that mean? Father of all nations.
Wow.
Okay. Your descendants will be countless.
Mm-hmm.
As the stars. Or even Simon, when he stepped up. Mm-hmm. Well, your name's not Simon anymore. It's Peter.
Yep.
And because it's on you, ultimately, we'll come to find this rock, Peter, that I will found my church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as religious sisters, we're very aware of the reality that when you step into and answer the call for towards your particular mission, yes, it's not uncommon that we take new names as we you know, receive the habit and a religious name and live in and through the grace of that name, please God, throughout our religious lives.
Mm-hmm.
Even married couples, you know, a woman will change her name, in a sense expressing that wedding of two lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's a deepening, you know, it's not like, I always find it striking, like in religious profession, for example. In our community, at least, we say, you know, Jane Sally Smith, you know, called in religion, Sister Mary Theophilus, you know, do vow to Almighty God. So it's like this, it's not that I, it's like this deepening of my, who I've been called in baptism. It's not like a flinging off of that. It's a deepening of it.
Wow.
I am that, yes. And it's this enriching of my identity in Christ.
Wow.
And it's just stunning.
It's stunning.
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to say it's for real, sister. Mm-hmm. I mean, in brief, that was certainly the experience I had with discerning my own religious name, actually. My baptismal name means Rachel, which means lamb, and that was the name I know my father was very intentional in giving me. And when I came to discerning, gosh, what do you call me? Father, what do you call me? My Father in heaven. And it was so clear and resonant, and this beautiful mystery unfolded in my heart that he called me Agnus Dei, Lamb of God, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a deepening, mm-hmm. And consecration, religious consecration, is a deepening, mm-hmm. of our baptismal grace. It was so beautiful for me to follow that grace, mm-hmm. so that my religious name is a deepening, mm-hmm. of my own baptismal identity, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. name that I was baptized into initially. God's, yeah. Lamb of God.
Mary's, yeah.
Mary's Lamb of God, yes, yeah. In fullness. I'm just of, really. I am of love. The more I live, the longer that, well, that, and that mystery is for another time. But
yeah.
I wonder if you tasted this at all as you discerned your own religious name.
Definitely, definitely. And it's so, so amazing hearing every sister's story, you know. But yeah, my religious name, Sister Marie Veritas, was very much an experience of basically falling in love with truth, you know, when I was high school, university, and just like absolutely being seized by the beauty of truth. And that truth is a person, and his name is Jesus, you know. And so my name actually is really, in a sense, you know, Mary and Jesus, like it's two persons that I'm with, you know, and it's this reality of the truth sets you free. Mm. And in a certain way, I think, I often say this to sisters who have just received their name, but the Lord forms you in your name and through your name and by your name. And it's really true. So I just want to, I mean, just having lived with this name now for a number of years, the truth sets you free.
Wow.
And it's beautiful to have that and to live in that reality. And it's ever deepening. I'm learning more and more.
Isn't it powerful?
It's an infinite thing, the name.
It's a grace of a lifetime and beyond.
Yeah, it really is.
How stunning.
It is.
Well, and I think in that, I would very much encourage all those listening, what does your name mean? Yeah. I love asking people, and mm-hmm. And a lot of times it can kind of lead to deeper understanding of kind of who I am in God, mm-hmm. Or your confirmation saint. Mm-hmm. How are they contributing mm-hmm. to that and praying for you? Or I guess, I mean, you may be discouraged, right? Like, what if you might say, sister, you know, my name doesn't mean anything, or you know, my parents named me Pineapple. You know, what do I do now? right? I have a name that doesn't seem to get me into the game.
Right.
I don't know. The Catechism has some consoling words.
Yes. Let me read some. But it actually really does. Catechism of the Catholic Church. This is paragraphs mishmash of 2158 and 2159. But listen to this. It's amazing.
Hmm.
God calls each one by name. Get this. Everyone's name is sacred.
Wow. Love it.
Get this.
Love
gets
it.
Better and better.
It gets better.
The name is the icon of the person.
Wow.
Whoa. I mean, if you don't know what an icon is, this is slightly tangent, but if you don't know an icon,
oof.
It's a sacred, you write an icon. It's a sacred thing. They fast.
They pray.
It's written on special, there's special wood, special paint, special fabric. You're drawing an image of Jesus or the saints. But it's actually, it's not just an image. It's actually an encounter. It's like a window into eternity. The icon is very sacred.
It's so
and
beautiful.
You know what's amazing about the icon? Is if you make a mistake, there's no erasing. It is incorporated into the image, and it actually makes it more beautiful.
Isn't that stunning?
The fact that the name is the icon of the person.
Wow.
To not be discouraged if we feel like we have a lame name or something like that, but to not be discouraged, it's like Jesus calls you by name and ever deepening name, you know? And it can be a name like it says here in 2159, you know, the name one receives is a name for eternity.
Wow.
And in the kingdom, the mysterious and unique character of each person marked with God's name will shine forth in splendor. Okay, and then this. Do you want to say it? It's so exciting.
No, where is it?
The Revelation.
Revelation. So in Revelation, to him who conquers. So he says, I will give a white stone with a new name written on the stone, which no one knows except him who receives it. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
So in Scripture, in Revelation, it kind of gets us to the heart of this, mm-hmm. is that, yes, we can carry a lot of names, nicknames, in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, what we're seeking to come to know,
mm-hmm.
and the way in which we become,
mm-hmm.
and tap into who we are most essentially, is by seeking to come to know our name in God. Mm-hmm. Who are we in mm-hmm. God? What is that name the Father
mm-hmm.
has given to me?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not for now, but there's this idea of personal vocation. What does God call you?
Mm-hmm.
Which can kind of be something within our baptismal identity, or you know, open up a new vista of mm-hmm. understanding of our mission and identity in God.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's really powerful to think about.
It really is.
Who am I in God? What does God the Father mm-hmm. call me?
Mm-hmm.
It may be worth praying about.
I think so. And mm-hmm. even what you said, you know, like throwing off kind of the baggage of any other names we've been called in our life,
mm-hmm.
you know, which could be very terrible things. And I'm not going to say anything, but things that are terrible or degrading to who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But it can kind of be carried around in our minds and our hearts and our memories, these things we've been called as kids or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or things we call ourselves, you know, whatever. But it's like to let, kind of like you were talking about in a previous episode, let it just slide. Like, yes. Don't let, that's not who you are.
That's not who you are.
That's not who, and that's not what God calls you. God calls you with a name that is yours, and he says it tenderly and with great gentleness and kindness and reverence. And if the names you're hearing in your brain don't sound like that, probably not the name God Amen. Calls you, you know? So just, Amen. I just love how you mentioned that.
Well, and it seems perhaps a strange examples, but when you watch superhero movies,
mm-hmm.
You see this, actually, the strength of a name and of returning to a name. And I was reading some quotes from the movie Wonder Woman. Some people had kind of tipped me off that there were some redeeming qualities to this, and kind of powerful to watch Wonder Woman, her identity unfold and be revealed to her as she kind of stepped out in mission. And so just kind of setting the scene, I imagine, I don't know, a lot of people I think have seen it, but kind of pulling from what I found so compelling. So there, it was this critical moment where she was about to leave, I guess, her island of origin. And she asked her mother was discouraging her from this. And so Wonder Woman, it was like, you know, who will I be if I stay? She knew she had to step into the more of her life, that to find herself, she had to give of herself. And then it was fascinating because as, again, as the storyline unfolds, you see, and she comes to understand herself as she engages mission. And when things got tough, or as she was kind of really wanted to speak out what she was about, she would circle back to who she was, her name. She would say, I am Diana of Themyscira, daughter of Hippolyta, queen of the Amazons, and in the name of all that is good, your wrath upon this world is over.
Mm.
She sourced back to her name.
Wow.
And you watch her, you know, discover her gifts, discover mm-hmm. her mission, who she is, and live it. And I love thinking about that. Who am I? Mm-hmm. You know, I am Sister Maria Aniste, daughter of God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
We can build our own formula to root us
mm-hmm.
in God, mm-hmm. ultimately, who I am mm-hmm. personally
yeah.
in God. And there find my strength, and there give permission
mm-hmm.
For myself to unfold more deeply in truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that, sister. Like, in the name of Jesus, I claim my identity.
Who I am.
Who I am. I am Sister Mary Veritas, daughter of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And you could keep, you know, beloved yes. of God. You could keep going. There's like a litany.
Yes.
And I reject the lies that tell me I am this, this, and this.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I reject those. And I claim who I am.
How powerful.
That's awesome. I love that.
It's powerful stuff.
It is. It is. And names are powerful. I mean, we've talked about it. Like, our name is powerful. Our identity is powerful.
Wow.
And Jesus, the name of Jesus
is
the most powerful.
Wow.
It's just...
Well, and what I'm hearing and what we've kind of been talking about, it's if we boil it down, names draw us into two things, I guess, primarily, identity and mission. Who I am most essentially, who I am in God, and then that particular mission that I have been entrusted, that God has brought me into being towards and for, in love, to love. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. And it's kind of like a North Star. It can really guide us. It can be a compass for us, give us strength in any moment, whatever it might be bringing, as how to move in that circumstance.
Yeah, it's really true, because it's intricately linked. Who I am and what my mission is in life. It can't be separated because I'm unique and unrepeatable, and called by God uniquely.
Well, and that makes sense too, because at the moment of our baptism, you know what the reality is? At the moment of our baptism, we were incorporated into Christ's life. In a sense, we became another Christ. Like Jesus united himself to us entirely. We were inserted, in a sense, into the very mission of Jesus to save the world. We were born into mission. And in light of that, our mission, your mission, my mission, is saving. Is saving. And that is all of me. It's not part of me. And it kind of, I don't know, it encourages me to want to encourage others to think about what are your unique gifts. And humility is truth. So owning what God gave you, right? In your gifts, in your gaps, that you is called, all of you. So to think about, what are your gifts of heart? You know, has God given you a special capacity to listen or to compassionate, or a deep strength of heart, or gifts of mind? Do you have a particular gift in intellect to know the truth, to understand? Gifts of artistry to bring God's beauty to life, whether that's through word or music or watercolor. Or even spiritual charisms, that God is very particular in entrusting those. And how do we use those and unfold those, give God to unfold permission to unfold those for the glory of God? Thomas Aquinas said that beauty is unity in variety. Isn't that stunning?
It's so beautiful.
And that each of us really has an obligation to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in giving of the gifts that we've been endowed with. And allowing the Holy Spirit also to fill in and use the gaps. And he often goes there first.
It's true.
Where he can dwell most perfectly. In our weakness, right? His power is made perfect in weakness. So I would encourage. I know it's something I need to be more faithful to and honest about. What has God given me and entrusted to me to fulfill and to step into?
This
special gift of self and gift of love he wants me to bring.
Amen. And like you said, it's living in truth. It's not to be ashamed, like, I'm good at this, or I have a gift in this, and not to be ashamed of that, or think humility is like, oh, no. It's like, actually, let it shine, you know, and be who you are as God has created you to be, because that is what's going to bless the world. That, you know, that's what's going to set other people free, actually. You living as you are in Christ.
It kind of reminds me of a quote from one of our newly canonized friends, John Henry Newman.
Yes, fabulous.
So a fabulous quote that I think really gathers up the different pieces and elements we've been talking about today. And I'm sure many have heard it, because I know the first time I heard it, it really stopped my heart. I was like, whoa, I gotta pay attention. And it kind of awakened me into a new responsibility and a new freedom, I think, to live in the gift and to seek to give the gift that God was calling me to give. So he said this. He said, God has created me to do him some definite service. Bam.
Wow.
He has committed some work to me which he has not committed to another. I have my mission, he says. Irreplaceable, each of us. We have got to step up to the plate.
Yeah, amen.
He said, I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. So even in a sense, a lot of times we walk in faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always evident to us.
Yeah.
What God is up to or doing through our yes to yeah. him. He says, I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons.
It's really true. I mean, even like our Blessed Mother's yes, you know, like we don't know what the impact of our little fidelities yes. in life to the gifts we've been given. We have no idea how that's going to radiate to the world. And heaven will know. We'll have somebody come up to us and be like, because of your smile or this, my whole life changed. I mean, I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but it matters.
Amen.
Our little fidelities to mission.
It absolutely matters.
Yeah.
Every little yes. Wow, he continues, if that wasn't enough. He said, he has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do his work. I shall be an angel of peace, a preacher of truth in my own place, while not intending it, if I do but keep his commandments.
Mm. It's like letting that, living in him, living in the truth of who I am, is my name in his name. And it's basically like I can't help but overspill.
Oof.
You know?
Oof. If I am but faithful to his commandments.
Yeah.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
Just that fidelity.
Yeah. The simplicity.
Mm.
Yeah.
Simple fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And then he closes it down with this. He says, therefore I will trust him. Whatever I am, I can never be thrown away.
Can we just read that again? It's so good.
Therefore I will trust him. Whatever I am, I can never be thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that stunning?
It is stunning. Because that combats a huge lie in our culture right now. That I am disposable.
No.
I can be thrown away.
Nope. God does not make trash.
Right.
God does not make garbage.
Nope.
And he will be ever seeking to reveal his glory through each and every single one of us, mm-hmm. regardless of our strengths and weaknesses, inabilities, abilities, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he continues, he said, if I am in sickness, my sickness may serve him. In perplexity, my perplexity may serve him. If I am in sorrow, my sorrow may serve him. He does nothing in vain. He knows what he is about. He may take away my friends. He may throw me among strangers. He may make me feel desolate, make my spirit sink, hide my future from me. Still, he knows what he is about.
Mm. And in all of that, he never stops calling our name.
Mm.
He never stops.
Mm. How powerful.
Mm.
Well, and in that, it's before we go, I think what this quote really draws me to is deep trust.
Mm-hmm.
Deep trust, and this is what I would encourage everyone to throughout this day, is to trust without reserve, unconditional trust, mm-hmm. that you are exactly where you need to be. God is with you right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And in this very moment, to turn yourself to the Lord, and simply say, Jesus, I trust in you.
Mm.
Allow that to be a litany throughout the day. I trust in you.
Mm.
I trust you can do, you can reveal, you can save, you can reveal your glory
mm-hmm.
In and through whatever I'm sitting in, facing, looking at, in and through me.
Mm-hmm.
I trust you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so an invitation to pray for the grace and to look to Jesus in trust.
Mm, that is so beautiful, sister. I love that.
Mm. Do you have any thing before we go, sister?
Before we go, I would just say, it's two-part, but one would be find out what your name means.
Mm.
Find out what your name means. And sit with that a little bit.
Yeah.
And then claim it. Mm. Claim it. And you don't have to use a particular formula, but something like, in the name of Jesus, you know, say your name, am a son of the Father or daughter of the Father, you know, called in Christ, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. But to claim it.
To really claim
in
it.
In the name of Jesus, to claim who you are and who you're called to be. So, that'd be before you go.
Amen.
Mm, yeah.
Sounds beautiful. Wow. We have such a good, faithful, and incredible God.
We do. We do.
So let may we let love call us.
By name.
By name.
Amen.
Amen. Do you want to close with a prayer,
sister? I would be honored to. I would be honored to. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you so much for your goodness, your grace, and your glory. We thank you for calling us by name, for making us your beloved children. We ask you, Jesus, right now to fill us with your Spirit. Help us to receive the name you call us by at every moment. Help us to receive the truth of your love for us personally. And help us to never forget this or let go of it. We entrust ourselves to you, everything we are. And we lay before you all the needs and intentions of our family, our friends, all the people in our life, for blessing upon them. We ask this in your holy and saving name, Jesus. And we give glory to you as we pray, glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our Lady of the Annunciation,
pray for us.
The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's a joy to be with you.
Joy to be with you, sister, and all those listening.
Amen.
And may God bless and keep you.
Praying for you. See you next time.
Bye-bye. This was Let Love Podcast with the Sisters of Life, a religious community of women consecrated for the protection of the sacredness of human life. Be assured of our prayers and learn more at sistersoflife.org.